It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Dan Gaddis with the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers. First off, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
The purpose of Dodd-Frank was to end too big to fail, but it ended up creating too small to succeed. These new regulations entrench the dominance of the largest banks by rewarding economies of scale and necessitating effective lobbying operations here in Washington. What followed was a community bank bottleneck that left America's hometowns reeling. President Trump and this administration have seen what the heavy hand of government has done to community banks and the families you all serve, and he has set out to fix it. Why? Because we know that the Main Street revival starts with a community bank comeback.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Dan Gaddis. Dan is second vice president for Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association, TSCRA. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony.
Okay, little background about you for those who don't know. Tell us your path to TSCRA, and did it start on a farm or a ranch?
Well, it certainly started on the ranch. Our family has ranched in Texas since, I guess my kids are seventh generation East Williamson County, but we were here before Texas was Texas. But I will tell you, my dad was a huge proponent of TSCRA, and we've been members since I was a little kid. I remember going to conventions when I was young, and when I was elevated to the role of second vice president, ultimately to fulfill the role of president someday. It was probably one of the greatest honors I've ever had. I love this organization and what it does, how it stands for ranching and the Western heritage and making sure that landowners are protected in this state. It's a great organization, has a great history.
You talk about the protection of landowners, and you've got a unique insight into this as well after having spent some time in the Texas legislature, right?
I do. I don't always bring that up because I don't know how people will take that, Tony, but I spent four terms in the Texas legislature representing Williamson and Milam County, which was it was a great honor too as well. Enjoyed it for a long time and then looked up and had a five-year-old, a three-year-old, and one-year-old and thought they might deserve my attention a little bit more.
So ongoing issue for agriculture, and I'll say ag in general. This isn't just for those in the cattle industry, but it's for those in ag in general. And I guess we could say landowners, water rights. What sets Texas apart from other states when we're talking about water?
You know, I don't know that we're completely set apart from other states, but the amount of growth that we have, number one, is, you know, water is so important. We have some large arid areas of Texas for sure. We have some water-rich areas of Texas. We use a lot of groundwater in Texas. Our landowners are the owner of the water underneath them. So if you own the surface, you own the water that is beneath your land. In Texas, we have what's called right of capture. Sometimes that is good for landowners, and sometimes that can be, you know, negative for landowners. But those rights we hold near and dear. At TSCRA, we've worked really hard to make sure that we included, what we've always considered to be the right that the landowner owns the water beneath it in our own constitution and in the laws that we have.
Our guest today is Dan Gaddis, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association, on the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about Cotton Research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
When you raise dry land cotton, one of the only things you control is input costs. Reduce your seed costs by as much as 75% without sacrificing yield potential with BSD 9X cotton from Brownfield Seed and Delining. Perfectly adapted for dry land acres, BSD 9X is large seed and has excellent early season vigor and consistently yields at the top in university trials. Find out about BSD 9X by calling 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Dan Gaddis, Second Vice President, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. All right, Dan, let's talk about Cattleman's Column. Those who haven't read it, it's talking about the fight over water rights. What do we need to know?
Sure. And, you know, and in the legislature, we always said that whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. And of course, that's always been the case in Texas. And we will continue those fights over water for a long period of time, especially with the growth that we have. One of the big issues that we're dealing with, and that the most recent issue that the Texas Supreme Court has addressed, was with regard to produced water. You know, for a long, long time, that produced water didn't have a lot of value. And today it begins to have a lot of value. There was a lawsuit basically filed, Cactus Water versus COG, that went all the way up through the Supreme Court here in Texas. The basic argument being that the landowner had reserved that right and actually sold that right of the produced water to a company that was going to utilize it, treat it, and then reuse it. They got in a fight with the oil and gas operator, the lease owner, and then that argument went all the way to the Supreme Court here in Texas. The landowner's rights have always been, you know, we own the water. And that's the water underneath us, no matter what. Oil and gas has the right to utilize that water somewhat in its production, part and parcel to its ability to bring oil and gas up to the surface. But the ownership of the water has never been in contention. The oil and gas industry basically came up and said, well, but we're required to treat it, so therefore we own it. And I think that's where the Supreme Court in Texas got it wrong. They ultimately said that water, produced water, and they tried to define it in a way that it's not really water. It's basically a trash or refuse, so to speak, that is now owned by the oil and gas operator and the lease owner. So what they want to be able to do is take that water and be able to treat it and then resell it. For years, they had to treat it as well. And here's where I do think that the Supreme Court got it wrong. What they kind of hung their hat on is that for a historical period of time, the oil and gas operator had to treat that water because it had significant issues with it from an environmental standpoint. And they had gone through the expense to have to treat and deal with that water. The real issue is that doesn't change the ownership of it. Their requirement to treat it was part and parcel to the oil and gas operations, just like they would have to do other things that are environmentally sound with regard to that oil and gas operation. So, but now that it's got some value, they tried to lay claim to that water and tried to take the fact that they have a responsibility to clean it up to change it to that they own it. And that's where I really think that the Supreme Court got it wrong. They confused ownership and responsibility with the water.
So what does this mean to landowners at this point?
Well, it's the proverbial camel's nose under the tent is the biggest concern for us, because where does it go from here? Do we now start practice water? Can an oil and gas operator go in there and under the pretense of saying that they're going to be bringing oil and gas up, bring up water and claim that is basically produced water because it came up through a well bore and therefore own it and then try to sell it? You know, there's a lot of other things that come to play in that whole process. The concern for us is that it's changed the character of ownership of water underneath the land as far as oil and gas operations go. I think that, you know, when looking forward, it's a huge concern for us because it impacts every landowner in the state of Texas. If you have oil and gas operations on your place or not today, it may impact your ownership right to the water underneath your property. really the way that you protect them, and kind of the Supreme Court laid that out, is in the oil and gas leases and those surface leases type situation, you need to have specifically laid out in those agreements the ownership aspect of that water. We don't think that that's the right way to do it, because we think the default ought to be that the landowner owns it. If they want to negotiate for some type of different ownership under that, then that should be, that onus should be on the oil and gas operator within those lease operations or in those lease agreements.
I'm thinking it's almost obvious here, but I want to ask anyway, for landowners to protect themselves. So obviously moving forward, that's something you can write into the contract. But what about those who've already got the contracts? Is this something that can be done retroactively?
There's not currently. And so that is one of the biggest issues we have. If it doesn't specifically lay that out, then there's a huge concern that you've already lost potentially those rights. That's one of the things that we brought up in the Supreme Court case. You know, TSARA is going to continue to fight this fight. We were joining in an effort to ask for a rehearing to point out to the court that, you know, they grabbed hold of, you know, that they confused responsibility with ownership, and that one of the cases that they really hung their hat on, the language in that case really didn't say what it was, what there was quoted as saying. And it's a case that, you know, they just grabbed out of nowhere. I'm not sure really where it came from. So there's a lot of concerns in that. We're going to continue the fight. We've asked for a rehearing. That was denied. But we'll continue through the legislative process and other ways to try to have what we think is really a wrong decision righted in some form or fashion.
We're talking with Dan Gaddis, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers, on the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Dan Gaddis, Second Vice President, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers. Okay, Dan, we've been talking about water and water rights and landowners, and I guess at the end of the day, what do producers and landowners need to do?
I always go back to, we always get really concerned when all of a sudden the legislature does something that we don't agree with. If you don't know your legislator, then you're part of the problem of, you know, us not getting our word out. You know, we have a scenario where the rural Texas and agriculture are not always thought of first and foremost of the way they have been for generations because we were so tied to the land. You need to get to know your legislator. And you need to get to, you know, we have a lot of landowners that are absentee landowners throughout the state of Texas that may live in Houston or Dallas or San Antonio or another large metropolitan area. And I would include that for every other state across the nation that, you know, we have absentee landowners that live in areas that they, their representative may not truly understand about agriculture. They need to get to know them to be able to influence and make them understand how those decisions impact us. One of the things I think we've ignored and to our detriment is making sure that we have judges that understand agriculture and rural issues out across their state and across our nation. We are in a scenario, you know, we've consistently said that, you know, the fact that, you know, making sure that we have food produced here is a huge issue for our security of our nation in our world. And so we need to not forget that part of producing those food and the fiber and all the things that we have here is water goes hand in hand with that. And so we need to make sure our judges understand that. Our legislators understand that, those that are representing us in our state capitals in Washington, D.C., for sure.
Dan, great to see you. Thanks for your time. Again, Dan Gaddis is second vice president with the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers. TSCRA.org is where you can learn more. That's TSCRA.org. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Farm Service Agency Administrator Bill Beam.
The FSA has determined eligible counties within for qualifying floods and qualifying wildfires for the years 2023 and 24. For losses, these counties' livestock producers are not required to submit additional documentation for the flood or wildfire. There's a list of approved counties, and that's available at the fsa.usda.gov/ELRP. On our website. For losses in counties not listed on that list, livestock producers can apply for ELRP for those years stated before, but must provide some supporting documentation to demonstrate they had a qualifying flood or wildfire. Acceptable documentation would be photographs documenting impacts to livestock, land, property, maybe insurance documentation, emergency declarations, press releases or news articles, or any other documentation that may be determined acceptable by your county committee.